You know, because when Pastor Dan asked me to be prepared to bring a message tonight on a topic, as we were talking, you know, really with, you realize today just being this Sunday being the last Sunday of September, what's coming up real soon? Walk through Bethlehem, right? Walk through Bethlehem. Those of you that just got on board, welcome. Walk through Bethlehem is only in about 2 months, all right? We're going to be in October, November, and before you know it, the city's up, and that first full week of December is our kind of dry run, and that second weekend of December 8th, we kick it off, and I'm excited about it. I've been able to be a part of Walk Through Bethlehem here as a volunteer from the very beginning when it was built, being able to help build the walls that got blown down last year, and so finally, those walls that some of us that were here to build are now gone, and they're all new walls. And so we don't have to redo that this year. That's fantastic. Hurricanes are coming gone, and there won't be any more. Don't. I know I can be a weatherman because they're right half of the time, too. So, but anyway, and some of you, when I came in tonight, that was interesting. How many of you came in and you didn't even know it rained? There's a few of you came in. Some people were already in here. I walked in and my shirt was spotted. And I had about four people. They didn't even say hello. It was the first thing they said was, is it raining? No. I bought it this way. Colleen did the laundry and washed my pen in it, and it just, I still wear it. No. But, you know, with Walk Through Bethlehem coming up, our whole purpose of Walk Through Bethlehem is outreach. But I want us to think about that for a minute. What is outreach? What is outreach? As I thought about the topic of dealing with outreach tonight and talking to the church, which I knew I was going to be talking to the Sunday night crowd, which really pretty much probably 90%, if not 99.9% of you, are involved in ministry here at Crossroads somehow, some way, and probably most all of you in Bethlehem at least. And I know that everybody being here tonight supports the church and is praying for the ministry, so everybody does have a part in it one way or the other. And as I was thinking about it, and I started studying out different passages on outreach, I began to see something that I've always known and understood, but never really thought about intentionally. You know, we can't have a heart for outreach, or we can have a heart for outreach, but if we, or you, or I, am not reachable, then what good are we? I want us to think about it, because I was looking at that word outreach and the kind of the middle word there being reach, and then I thought, got to thinking about being reachable. How many times in a day are we going about our business and really people find us unreachable? You know, I'm a firm believer that God uses people. I have a dog. I love my dog. My dog and I go out for runs just about every day. But you know what? I haven't seen my dog be a witness to anybody yet. Now, people see us all over the neighborhood, and they know him as the dog that pulls the guy on the skateboard, and every time I go by, they ask, you know, they say, that's not real fair. When are you going to run and him ride? And, you know, but not one of them has said anything about the Lord, and he hasn't said anything about the Lord to them. God uses people. And in order to accomplish God's will, he wants to use us, and it's through those who are willing to give of himself or herself to be used. But that's just the beginning. Unfortunately, many, if we're honest, loving people aren't being used because they're not being seen as available or reachable by those around them. And it's true that we should seek others, but does it mean that the only way or the way that we ought to do it is standing at street corners and preaching to people as they walk by about their day? Is that how we need to reach people? Is that what outreach is about? No. It's not. Now, Jesus did speak to groups, but we don't find evidence of him speaking on the street corner as people are just walking by. We don't see the Apostle Paul just going out, picking a spot, and beginning to preach Christ, you know, just as people are going about their day, walking back and forth, going, you know, one from one direction to the other. We don't see that being the way that they would go out and they would teach. What we do see, though, is that Jesus went from city to city. Paul did go from city to city. But what they were doing in those cities were attracting people to them. And they were being noticed by others as somebody who was reachable. Somebody who was available to talk to. Was Jesus worried about attracting others with loud programs and attracting them with new entertainment and philosophies? No. In fact, I don't think Jesus was really worried about attracting them because he knew that love automatically attracts. And so Jesus was loving. Outreach is all about showing love. It's not about showing what we can do, what we're capable of. It's not about showing the community that, hey, we can put on an incredible outdoor program. I mean, there's so many places that I go in town, and when I talk to people, and you know, I talk to them about church and things, and I get to the point where I say, yeah, I'm up at Crossroads, and they go, oh, the church that does Walk Through Bethlehem. You know, obviously we're doing a good job, but that's not what it's about. It's not about having the name and a good program. It's about being known for what Jesus said when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, and it dealt with loving. Jesus was concerned with how people lived his or her life, and the question tonight is, I want you to think about, are you living in a way that attracts others to you? Because you do that through love. You truly attract people by doing what Jesus said is, number one, you love God first, you love others, and then you even love your enemies. Easy to love God and love others, but if you begin to love your enemies, now you're really going to attract some people. And that's what it deals with. The root core of being successful in outreach is love. Have you ever heard somebody say that they hate church and they hate the idea of church because those people read and believe the Bible and follow the Bible? I mean, have you really? I mean, think about it. You ever invite somebody to church and go, oh, I don't go to church. Man, those people just believe the Bible and follow it. I mean, if you really thought about it, most people would think if everybody followed the Bible, we'd be in a great, fantastic world. But what you do find out is when you ask somebody about going to church, you're like, man, I don't go to church. Those people up there are a bunch of hypocrites. That's what we begin to find out and we hear. It's not that people up there love God and they love the Bible and they follow the Bible. I just can't agree with that. No, it's usually, no, those people up there say one thing and do another. Or they say they care, but I really don't see it. If you're going to be effective in reaching others with the gospel, you've got to learn how to be reachable and available. And so when you're looking to be available, others feel less like they're interrupting you if you're looking to be available. I hate when people come up to me, and if you've done this, I'm not calling on you, I'm just saying. All right? I always hate using that phrase and somebody go, ooh, no. People say it to you too, I know. Because we're in a society where, one, everybody always seems busy. And I can't stand when somebody comes up to me and goes, oh, I was going to talk to you, but you looked busy. And maybe I am, but I don't want me looking busy to keep you from thinking that I'm not reachable. There are times that you're busy, I'm sure. There are times that I'm busy, I'm sure. But there are other times that we look busy when we're really not. There's times when you see somebody doing this, and you walk by and you're like, I better not. What if that's an important article they're reading? Or tweet, or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's just one thing. There's a lot of things in life that we tend to keep in front of us that make us look busy, and we don't recognize that other people see that as busy when we're thinking, well, I'm just killing time. I mean, how many of you have sat in the doctor's office when your appointment was at 4 o'clock and, you know, it's 4:40 and you're sitting there doing this, waiting, right? You'll pull something out and you'll start reading because you're killing time. But within that time, maybe 3 or 4 people come in there into the waiting room and they're waiting as well, but they don't, you know, they're surely not going to talk to you because you look distracted, you look busy, you look unreachable. You know, we have to be reachable. I know there are times that we're busy, but I truly believe that majority of our time is filled up with things that we find to keep ourselves entertained, and therefore we look busy and not reachable. For God to use you to the fullest, because like I said, God uses people, you have to be reachable. And I want us to see tonight how you can become more reachable following Christ. And I want us to look at Mark chapter 1, because we're going to look at Christ as the example. We're looking here at kind of toward the beginning of his ministry. Jesus here has already called the disciples, and they've begun to go. And we're going to start in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Because I truly believe there's four keys we're going to see here in this text from Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to pull four things out that are going to show us how we can become more reachable as followers of Christ. The first thing we see is in verse 35. The first thing is it starts with prayer. Even Jesus, the Son of God, it says in Mark 1, 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That means before the sun came up, teenagers. He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there did what? Prayed. Now, he's fixing to go, and I don't think I've ever found the word fixing in the Bible, but I use it a lot. But Jesus is fixing to go, and he's going to do some healing, and he's going to do some reaching, and he's going to do some teaching. But before he gets there, he does some praying. It starts in his day with prayer. And it wasn't just obviously, oh, hey, let me say a quick prayer as I roll out of bed. No, it says he got up, it says a great while before day, and went out to a solitary place. So this was premeditated. This was planned. This was Christ knowing that he needed to be connected with the Father through prayer in order to accomplish the work the Father wanted him to do while he was here on earth. And so prayer was a vital part of it. And he went out and he prayed. If Jesus sought to pray before going out to reach people, don't you think we should? And how often do you think we should go out and reach people? Well, the church answer is every day. So how often should we start our day with prayer with the intention of making sure that we're reachable? And our minds are prepared and ready every day. But unfortunately, I think, unless I'm the only one in this room, there's days that we miss. There's days we allow other things to sidetrack us, to derail us, to keep us from starting that day. And if you're anything like me, I've always noticed the days that I don't put prayer first, I find myself being reachable last. It definitely has got something to do with it because we see Jesus going to pray in the morning. And I'm not one that says, well, there's only one time to pray. No, I believe what the Apostle Paul says, we're to pray without ceasing. We can pray all day long. But if Jesus thought it important to pray in the morning and get the thing started right, I think we should too. And seek to make it a priority to incorporate prayer into our life so much as it is possible. And the best place to start is first thing in the morning. Prayer isn't always when we're alone either, because then notice what happens. It says in verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. So Jesus didn't just like sneak out to go pray. The guys knew that he had left, and they went and they sought to follow after where he went. In verse 37, it says, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Notice they weren't getting what prayer was just yet. We'd find out later on when they finally asked Jesus how to pray. He'd kind of give them the nuts and bolts of prayer that Pastor Dan even was able to break down for us in such a great way and understanding how prayer ought to be a solid part of our life and how to effectively pray today. And here the guys didn't get it yet, but Jesus was there. That he was being seen as someone who was praying because prayer is the key to becoming reachable. And I want to give you three things I think prayer does. I've noticed in my own life, and I think we'll notice it here in Christ's life, but prayer gets you focused on God's heart. If we, you know, for sake of time, we won't go there, but if you're able to go back, and if you weren't here when Pastor Dan went through the life of Christ when he focused on prayer, go back on our website and look at the archives and find those messages on prayer, because I think they're vital to having an effective prayer life. But understanding that one, part of our prayer is dealing with, all right, God, I know that this life's not about me and what I want. It's about you and your will and what you're doing. And prayer begins to allow us to align ourselves with God. And that's what Jesus, what was he? I don't think he was just going to just pray, well, hey, help me have a good day. Thank you for today. Amen. No, he was genuinely seeking to worship the Father and give honor to the Father and then know, okay, you have a will that I'm here for. And he was seeking to be focused on that will. The next thing I see prayer do in our lives is it clears your mind from the world's influences. You know, how many of you, when you go to pray, you battle sometimes. When you're trying to pray, your mind begins to drift on things of the world. I know that's me. And I have to keep bringing myself back in. And it might happen at the beginning of my prayer, it's a little more evident that the world is there, but then by the time I'm done, because you just keep pushing it out, you're able to get that world and the things of the world kind of out of the way, and it clears your mind and brings you more focused on the Lord. And then prayer begins to prepare your heart to listen, which goes right along with the message this morning. You know, as I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord, I'm also listening to Him, but I'm preparing myself to listen to others. Because you can't be available and not listen. There's something humbling about prayer. And a humble person is one that everyone views as approachable. How often have you ever gone up to a prideful, arrogant, self-centered person and just felt like they really had your, or you had their ear? They really wanted to listen to you. It's not. It doesn't happen. The people that you find the most available are the people who are the most humble. Because they don't look for themselves first. They don't have their own agenda where they're looking for themselves. And, hey, I'll talk to you because I think if I talk to you and listen to you that it may benefit me later. And so, sure, I'll go ahead and sit and listen to you. No, a person who is humble that puts everybody else before them are the easiest people to come and talk to. They always seem available. They're the kind of person who, even if they're raking, they're waiting for you to stop and talk to them. Oh, yeah, I'm not busy. Come and see me. You know, prayer keeps us humble. Christ was in prayer. Christ was the most humble there was. We're going to look at a couple other passages here in a minute that tie to some of all these are going to tie together as we go through this text. But the first thing I want us to see is if I'm going to become a reachable follower of Christ, that others can come. Because remember, the idea here is outreach, but not so much me outreach, but me being the one people can come to get the word out. So, but the first part is making sure that it starts with prayer. But the second thing that we see here is we need to observe those around you. Observe others around you. If I'm going to be reachable, I need to be observant. I need to be able to see others. We see here in Mark chapter 2, we're going to skip forward, we're going to kind of jump around between this text. But in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, so Jesus, he was praying, the disciples came back there in chapter 1 and said, hey, there's people that want to see you. And then Jesus goes and he preaches. There's a leper that comes to him. In fact, in verse 40, he heals the leper. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But it's neat to see that in chapter 2, verse 5, you've heard the story, I'm sure, of the guys that they've got their friend who is sick with the palsy, and he can't walk. He can't do anything. He can't get in, and the house is full. So they can't get into the house. They just want to get their friend to Jesus. So what do? Hey, I bet you we can, rip a hole in the ceiling and we're going to lower him down. Well, Jesus notices this happening. Now think about it. If you were in the midst of that house with all those people, you got to be observant to see the guys taking the roof off. All right? And I'm sure with everything else going on in there, and I don't know what kind of noise it could have been, but it had to be crazy, but Jesus was observant. And he wasn't just observant here in verse 5. Look at it, Mark 2:5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Okay, so he saw it. He was observant. He was looking. It says, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then notice in verse 8, of course, there were those that were upset with what Jesus was doing. It says in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus did what? Perceived. In his spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? So he was observant. He just healed this guy, and there was a group of guys over here that were murmuring and complaining, thinking, why did he just do this? This is awful. Who is this guy? And Jesus was observant enough to pay attention and know it. We've got to be observant. Being observant causes you to look on the things of others instead of your own. And that is the mind of Christ. Hold your place in Mark here. I want you to go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. This deals right back with what we were talking about with humility and prayer. Humility is the very character of Christ. Paul records it here in Philippians chapter 4 or chapter 2. But along with the humility, we also see this thing that I see as being observant. And what keeps us from being observant? Philippians chapter 2, look with me at verse 4. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of what? I read that verse, and you know what it said to me? Pay attention to others. Be observant. Don't be so busy or so self-consumed that you don't see the needs of others, that you don't see others. He says to put others' needs first, to seek others and put others above your own. Verse 5, Paul goes on and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's cool. Paul lays that out for us there between verses 4 through 8. Then notice what he also talks about over in verse 19. Now he's talking about the guys that are serving with him, the guys that are doing ministry, who are doing outreach with Paul. In particular, here we see Timothy in verse 19. He says, but I trust in the Lord, or I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul was wanting to know how things are going there with the church in Philippi, so he sends Timothy. Verse 20 says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally, what? Care for your state. Concerned about you. Not himself, but more concerned about you. And he says in verse 21, for all seek their own, speaking of the world, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And so Paul's sitting here and he just gave us in this chapter a couple of things to really pay attention to. And primarily what I get out of it is, hey, we need to be a people that are observant about others around us. We need to have our eyes open, our ears open, always looking around us. If I want to be reaching out, I need to be reachable. And if I'm going to be reachable, I need to be aware of what's around me. Knowing how to watch people can cause you to be more reachable as you see yourself free to talk, or as you are seen as free to talk. How many of you love people watching? I see more women's hands going up than guys, but you guys, I know when you go to the mall or somewhere else, Brother Allen, I know you people watch. I know he's over there just a waving. But you go to the mall or you go to a theme park, you go somewhere. Port Orange Family Days is this coming weekend. Just, if anybody wants to come out and be a part of our tent out there, you can also people watch. If you want to volunteer, we'll take you. See me after service. But if you sit and you get used to just watching people, you can learn a lot of things about somebody. You learn a lot of things about a couple. You learn a lot of things about a family. And you begin to be observant. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but then people see you staring at them and think you're just a weirdo. It all depends on the face that they get when you're staring at them. If it's a friendly face, sometimes they're willing to say hello. But even in today's day and age, it's so easy to even be a people watcher from the comfort of your own living room. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You find out all kinds of things about people in your circle, in your family, and your friends. But being able to watch those begins to prepare you to know when those people have needs. And they know that you're there and you're available for them to come and to talk to. It brings you a step closer to them to be available to help them, being used of God and something in their life when they need help. People came to Jesus often. And it seems like he was always available. He never turned anybody away. Even when the disciples thought the kids were there and they were making a ruckus, and Jesus said, no, don't keep the kids away from me. Jesus is available. If the kids want to come, let the kids come. If the crazy want to come, let the crazy come. Jesus didn't turn anybody away. And people came because they saw him as available. Why? Because he loved. And the third thing I want us to see back in Mark, we're going to go back to Mark 1. He prayed, he was observant. The third thing is that he compassionately cared for the needs of others. Compassionately, he cared for the needs of others. You know, it's one thing to pray and to be available, and then when somebody has a need, you're like, wow, that really stinks. I hope you get that fixed. I really do care. But a lot of times, that's what we'll do. I'll pray for you. I'm available. I know you're going through it. I just can't help you right now. And I know there's times that you literally can't help. But Jesus had such compassion on everyone. It says here in Mark go back to Mark 1 with me in verse 40. So his disciples have gotten him, and they've gone to the next town. And it says in verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with," what? "Compassion." Now think about it for a minute. Here was a leper. Nobody wanted to be around a leper. Nobody wanted to be close to a leper because they didn't want to get the leprosy. But yet Jesus allowed this man to come to him. Obviously he was approachable. And then Jesus had compassion on the man. He had compassion. And it wasn't just on the sick. For sake of time, real quick, I'll flip back there. But back in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew recorded how Jesus had compassion. In Matthew 9, verse 36, he says this. Oh, that's 10:36. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." So they were there, this multitude, and they were hungry and they were weak. And Jesus had compassion. And then over in Luke chapter 7, notice what Luke says about Jesus' compassion. He says in Luke 7:12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." And so we see that Jesus had compassion on the emotionally hurting, on the physically hurting, and on the socially hurting. He had compassion on everyone. And when the leper came to him, he didn't shy away. Today, we tend to shy away from people who look different or say things that we don't like. A lot of times we'll hear language. I mean, obviously, I got two of my kids in here. And Olivia and Jake and Gracie, you know, they don't use foul language. But we also have taught them, because when they were younger, if they saw somebody smoking or somebody using, you know, somebody said the word stupid, you know, we realized that they were like condemning those people. "They said stupid, Daddy." I'm like, "Go do something." I'm like, "It's okay," you know. And I began to think, though, I don't want them to condemn people. I want them to have compassion on people that don't know. I want them to have compassion on people who vent their anger in a way that's uncontrolled because they haven't known the scriptures, they don't know Christ, and they don't know about be ye angry and sin not. And I want them to be reachable by those who need the help. And so, you know, we've taught them, when we're in public and you hear a foul word, you turn an ear to it. It's okay. You still look at the person, smile. A lot of times, I know I used to do the same thing. I'd hear somebody using foul language, I'd be like, "Okay, next aisle real quick. No, la, 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 la." You know, but I realized, no, I don't have any compassion on that person. I need to get closer to them, not further away. I want them to see that I'm reachable and not trying to run from them and condemn them. You know, the opposite of compassion is animosity, cruelty, and harshness. It's hard to be in the middle. There is no middle between being compassionate or harsh. You're either compassionate or you're harsh. There is no middle. If somebody has a need or somebody, you know, and everybody has a need, whether they know Christ or not, they still have needs in their lives. But even if, you know, the person doesn't know Christ and they have that need, and I'm thinking, ooh, I don't like the way you look, I don't like the way you talk, I don't like the places you hang out, and so I'll be available if you need me over there. That's not compassion, that's kind of harsh. And it's expressing compassion when you notice someone that's in need. And like Jesus did, Jesus wasn't worried about getting leprosy. He was worried about healing the guy. And that's where we need to be. We need to be worried about seeing Christ heal people through our lives. We need to have compassion on those in need. And the last thing that I want you to see here tonight, if we're going to be reachable following Christ, the last thing is this: we need to move into action. Again, you can pray, you can watch, you can have compassion and care, but that doesn't mean you're doing something about it. You can be like, "That really bothers me. I just don't know what to do, and so I'm not going to do anything." Have you ever seen somebody in need and felt bad and just prayed somebody else would come and help them? Some of us are honest. All right, we've been there. And this is where the prayers and being observant and having compassion culminate. The first three keys lead to the last. You see, Jesus was prayed up. He prayed, and I believe he prayed every morning and all throughout the day. And then he was observant to see what was going on around him. And he had compassion on those in need. And then notice with me back in Mark 1, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, talking about the guy that was healed from the leprosy, and began to publish it much, and ablaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Thought that was so cool. I was reading that, and it got so crazy. Jesus had to get pushed out to the desert, but he didn't run. He just found a bigger place for everybody to come to him. He was available still. And then in chapter 2, it picks up, and it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he heals them. Jesus has compassion, and he does something about it. And unfortunately in the world, people, even Christians, wait till it's too late to move. We pray and then look for opportunities, and then many times do nothing. We go to bed thinking, well, Lord, I guess you used somebody else today. I'll be ready to again tomorrow. And many times we've passed person after person after person who had needs, but we didn't pay attention or we didn't move. We thought it would cause too much time, too much distraction, or throw our schedule off for the day. And I know I've been there. I know I've been sitting in either a coffee shop or, you know, somewhere, and saw an opportunity maybe to talk to somebody, but I thought, man, if I get in a conversation with this person, it could last an hour or two, and I've got somewhere to be in 30 minutes. But if I really sat down and thought, that person's soul compared to maybe an appointment I've got to make that doesn't relate to anybody's soul, which is really more important to Christ. And you know, I make those bad decisions most of the time when I haven't been prayed up and I'm not being observant, and I'm not having the compassion that I really ought to have. And therefore, I don't move. And Jesus was the one that was praying. He was observant. He had compassion. And then he moved. And there are times, I know you may not be able to do something right away, but you're making it known by being available that you will be ready to do something when and if you can. And in conclusion, I want us to think about this tonight. Have you been given the ability to be used by God, the Creator? Absolutely. Imagine being an assembly line worker and the owner of the company comes to you and says, hey, I have a project for you to do and I'm going to help you do it. You interested? I'm assuming you like the job and, you know, you like the boss. You never met him before, but he comes to you and says, hey, I want you to do something for me and I'm going to help you to do it. You'll be successful. Are you interested? And that's what we have. We have the Creator of the universe that says, hey, I want to use you for something, and I'm going to help you. Can I use you? And God has called us to help in what he's trying to accomplish. And just as God made it known that he would be approachable, as he says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God says, hey, I'm available, come boldly. Paul said in Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God is available, and he wants us to be available, because he wants us to be able to reach others with the truth and the gospel of Christ. So when you think about outreach, don't think about Bethlehem. Don't think about church programs. Don't think about even the church. Think about you. God wants to reach others through you. You are an outreach. And you can't be an outreach, though, if people don't see you as reachable. So you need to be prayed up. You need to be observant. You need to have compassion, and then you need to move. Let's pray.